In prayers, we turn to the scriptures. Gracious and holy Father, please give us intellect to understand you, reason to discern you, diligence to seek you, wisdom to find you, a spirit to know you, a heart to meditate upon you, ears to hear you, eyes to see you, a tongue to proclaim you, a way of life pleasing to you, patience to wait for you, and perseverance to look for you. Grant us a perfect end, your holy presence, a blessed resurrection, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Today we celebrate our 19th anniversary as an Anglican parish, and this occasion prompts a memory from not 19, but 10 years ago for me, a memory when I was neither standing in the pulpit nor at the holy altar at Apostles. This was a moment when I was not even at Apostles. I was seated in a pew in another Knoxville church. It was August 2015, my first clergy sabbatical, and it was a season of rest I greatly needed. I simply wanted to experience the liturgy for a season rather than lead the liturgy each Sunday. I wanted to observe the presence of the Holy Spirit from the pew, not from pulpit and altar. 10 years later, I still remember on Sunday from the autumn of 2015, an ordinary day when I was seated behind an aging couple. They had brought their grandchildren to church. They lovingly and patiently guided their grandchildren through the liturgy and whispering explanations every so often of what was happening or what instructing them what to do. And then in the Eucharistic prayer, they led their grandchildren to kneel with them. And as they were kneeling together across the generations, grandparents with their grandchildren, I saw the wife grasp her husband's hand. A moment of tenderest affection that unless you were seated there, you would have missed it. Seeing them pray together with one heart, one family, doing their part in that parish to keep the liturgy, to pray with devotion to our Lord. It was the most ordinary and simplest sight. I was an observer from the pew, an eyewitness of several more ordinary, unspectacular sights during that season that made a profound impact on my soul. Like the reverent silence of faithful saints who would kneel before the liturgy began, preparing themselves for worship. I remember witnessing a joyful reunion between two friends who ran along the side aisle, and it reminded me of the story of St. Elizabeth greeting the mother of our Lord. And in all of these very ordinary, blink or you'll miss it moments, I came to experience in that season the holiness of God all anew. It was the hidden acts of devotion, the small gestures of affection, the daily acts of sacrifice, the ordinary acts of love among the saints. I came to see anew. These are the ways the Holy Spirit builds up his spiritual house. This is how the Holy Spirit builds up a parish to be a holy priesthood. The theme of this year at Apostles has been to focus on you, the laity. I've called it with our leaders, this is the year of the laity, to focus on the royal priesthood, the priesthood of the baptized. And so it's fitting that we would have this focus on our parish anniversary, to meditate from Scripture on the presence of the Holy Spirit, building up his people at Apostles, through his people at Apostles, these 19 years. From our beginnings in 2006, this house has been built upon grace and prayer. Of grace, because this church building was offered to us within a few months of our formation. as a new church in 2006, the church that became, of course, Apostles Anglican. Pure gift. Many churches have temporary rented spaces they set up each and every Sunday for years. Pure gift. From 2006, we were given this place. And then of prayer. We learned early on to submit all things to the Lord's guidance, to wait for His voice, to listen for the Holy Spirit speaking, not only in individual hearts, but to gather together and listen. How the Holy Spirit speaks in the body of Anglicans when they gather together, praying in humility of heart. And so hear anew the words of St. Peter for us. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. And what are priests if their life is not anchored in the life of prayer? If their life is not set by the rhythm of prayer throughout the year and year after year, from Advent to Christ the King, and then year after year, following that rhythm. Of what use is a church building if worship and adoration and praise be not the very center, the very heartbeat, not only of the building, but within the soul of the people? You yourselves, like living stones, St. Peter says, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. From the first time I worshiped at Apostles, some 6 months after services began here at Robinson Road, I sensed that the calling upon Apostles was to be like the house of Bethany, where St. Mary chose the one thing necessary: to kneel at the feet of Jesus and listen for His voice. And I experienced the priority of prayer not only from ordained priests or bishops, and thank God it was there from that leadership. I saw it also, and especially so, in the habits and the hearts of the royal priesthood, the priesthood of the baptized. The power of Pentecost, my brothers and sisters, was not only evident in the gifts of the Spirit like tongues or when St. Peter proclaimed the gospel to the nations gathered there. The Holy Spirit inspired St. Luke, the writer of Acts, that the power of the Spirit was also manifest through the faithfulness of ordinary saints in Jerusalem who devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, the fellowship, and the prayers. There is the power of the Holy Spirit in ordinary daily things. Apostles was founded to be first and foremost a house of prayer, a place of reverence, a place of adoration, a place to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and, as the Psalms say, a place to seek His face, the Lord's face, continually. And yet those who are appointed to build up this spiritual house and make spiritual sacrifices also set themselves to work in other ways. St. Mary and St. Martha, the sisters of the house of Bethany, they go together. Those who come to the altar are sent forth in the power of the Spirit, as our concluding prayer says, to do the work He has called us to do. Prayer and work go together. The only psalm in the Psalter that's attributed to Moses is Psalm 90, and it concludes with this memorable phrase: "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Now that's fascinating to hear those words in the voice of Moses. Let's remember Moses for a moment. Remember that he was not only a prophet of deliverance for Israel out of Egypt, God appointed Moses to be a prophet of building too. And one could argue that Moses' life was defined as much as building the tabernacle as it was bringing Israel out of Egypt. God did not rescue Israel from Egypt only because they endured horrible suffering, though his compassion and mercy moved to save them. The Lord rescued them from Egypt also to bring them to Mount Sinai, to call them to be for him a kingdom of priests, to be for him a holy nation. And you see, at Mount Sinai, God called Israel to be a holy nation, and then at Mount Sinai also called him to build his holy house in the wilderness, the tabernacle. And how did God instruct Moses to build the tabernacle? He told Moses, gave them the blueprint. He gave Moses the blueprint of what would be built, but then he told Moses that the whole people of God would join in the effort of building up the tabernacle, the house of worship, where God would meet with his people. In other words, no prefab tabernacle, no subcontractors. The tabernacle was not like manna that is going to fall down from the sky. The people would build up the house. They would provide all the materials needed for the blueprint God gave to Moses for his tabernacle. Engravers, craftsmen, carpenters, metallurgists, seamstresses, to your stations. Carpenters, you will harvest and saw acacia wood, and then you will frame all that lumber for the house of God. Gardeners, harvest your olive groves. For the oil that you produce, it is going to be fuel for the lamp of God in the house of God that represents the light of all creation. The people would build the house, not the priests. To the priests was given the service of leading the liturgy of the temple. But make no mistake, there was liturgy happening with every engraving, every stitch sewn, every table and altar fashioned and then finished for the house of God. Because liturgy, my brother and sister, good Anglicans would remember, liturgy literally means the work of the people. And so from the age of Exodus to today, the people of God are called to be a royal priesthood, to become a spiritual house, offering spiritual sacrifices to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And over these 19 years, I have witnessed the beauty of the Lord, not only when we gather at 8:45 or 11:15 to hear the Holy Gospel, to kneel at his holy table. I have seen the beauty of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and the ordinary work of the people well before 8:45, well after 11:15. All through the week. How lovely is your dwelling place, we sing in the Psalms. How grateful we are for the beauty of this house, especially after that great renovation of our nave 2 years ago, new stained glass windows. But do not miss the beauty of the Lord in the liturgy of our hands. The work of our hands before, during, and after the liturgy. Some have called that liturgy, after we're dismissed and commissioned, they call those times the liturgy after the liturgy. And that is especially where the royal priesthood serves her king in the beautiful ordinary. You see, the liturgy abides. When altar guild servants come well before 8:45 or 11:15, they prepare the table. They clean the table. They wash the paten, wash the chalice. The liturgy abides when servants come to take the linens and do laundry and prepare it again for when we will gather around Eucharist. The beauty of the Lord is in the liturgies of teachers preparing on weeknights through the week to teach the scriptures to our children and students.
When servants distribute food, backpacks at Madison Place. When friends bring meals to our members recovering from illness. When servants bring furniture to families inhabiting a new home. The Holy Spirit is working in the liturgies of His people, and He is building up His church. See, I see the goodness of God when greeters come to prepare gift bags, when musicians rehearse, when our flower guild prepares arrangements for the altar, when sound technicians connect cables and work through their Sunday checklists. My brother and sister, this is liturgy. It's the work of the people. They're sacrifices. Yes? Sacrifices offered to the Lord. I feel like the writer of Hebrews, who said in Hebrews 11, remembering the greatness of the saints, he said, "What more shall I say? Time fails me to tell you of so much more goodness in the saints of God here." So these are only a few examples of many faithful works I've observed among the laity of apostles, the royal priesthood, these 19 years. And so today, on our 19th anniversary, I wish to honor the holiness of these ordinary, hidden, and small actions done repeatedly, done so often anonymously, done sacrificially for the glory of God. Though you cannot always see the deep affection of saints when they're doing their ordinary or weekly service, you can see a deep love does reside within, and I'm a witness of that deep love, not only on Sundays, but on Tuesdays, Wednesday evenings, on Saturdays, preparing for the Lord's Day. Many of you know one of my favorite 20th century saints is a French saint named Madeleine Delbrel, herself a laywoman, who was also a great supporter of priests and bishops. But most of all, she was a champion for ordinary Christians and their calling to serve with great love. Delbrel believed seemingly small, hidden, and ordinary acts, they contained tremendous love. She writes, "We, the ordinary people of the streets, we do not regard love as something extraordinary, but rather as something that consumes. We believe that doing little things for God is as much a way of loving Him as doing great deeds. Besides, we're not very well informed about the greatness of our acts. There are nevertheless two things we know for sure. First, whatever we do can't help but be small. And second, whatever God does, that is great. And so we go about our activities with a great sense of peace." Every anniversary, whether in a family or a parish or a nation, it is more than an exercise in memory. Every commemoration is oriented not only to the past, but to the future. Jesus Christ, His name is not only Alpha, it is Omega. And so our anniversary, our commemorations, they call us onward. We are not people of reverie. We embrace the present moment. Here again, St. Peter's words, and note the present and ongoing tense in which he wrote, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." Not only, in other words, since 33 AD, or for our story, since 2006, but now we are being built up as a spiritual house. The Christian writer Eugen Rosenstock QC, he said, "True spiritual succession does more than perpetuate. It spreads and deepens. Christianity continues to exist only as long as new groups are constantly forming around the lasting memory of Christ. Now, much as we will preserve the memory of our story as a parish, as we should, the lasting memory we all need is Christ Himself, who, as Peter said, is the cornerstone. He is chosen and precious. And we will know that ours is a living commemoration when new members and groups put down roots at apostles, not because of us, God save us, but because they long to love and serve Christ here. Christ, our cornerstone, established His house on the rock of His sacrificial love. His sacrificial love poured out on the cross is poured into the chalice every Sunday. That has made, it is making us a spiritual house, a royal priesthood. Christ first loved us, and we long to love Him totally who first loved us. St. Ambrose said about the saints, he said, "It is in her souls that the church is beautiful." In her souls, the souls of the saints, that's what makes the church beautiful. And so let genuine love, let your sincerity, let your affection for Christ, may it spread and deepen in your heart. That is the secret of spiritual succession. Love for Christ above all things. And this is something I believe that is a calling that God gave apostles from earliest days. We cannot give away to others what we have not received. First, we must receive His love ourselves. Then we will be firmly established on Christ the cornerstone. Then we will go about our days, our months, and our years, and we can serve Him in ordinary ways with great love and great peace, knowing He is building us up as a holy house in our life together. And so whether it be this, our 19th year, or next year's great celebration of our 20th anniversary, let us always look to Christ, who is our head. And each one of us, this is our task, enthrone Him on our hearts. Not to us, O Lord. Not to any one of us or us collectively together. Not to us give glory, but lead us always, we pray, to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, the God whose name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.